Thank you, Gary. It is good to be with you here today. It's always good to be here with my brothers and sisters. And, you know, as I came up here, you know, I told Brian, you know, it's time, and ready or not. You know, when it's time at 6 o'clock, I'm scheduled to preach. And there's a lot of things like that in life, you know. Life comes and goes, and we have time schedules, and the time comes and we need to be doing something, and it has to be done. And I'm glad, you know, he said I had a couple of long trips to Africa, and I came back and I didn't get sick on either one of them, and I feel blessed about that. And I'm always glad to be here with my brothers and sisters in the Phoenix local. Tonight I want to talk about our destiny. And the word destiny, it means something that is to happen to a particular person. Obviously talking about each one of us. And there are many things that can determine our destiny. And there are many things that can alter our destiny. We obviously have a temporal destiny. And, you know, as we go through this life, there's some things we can control, and there's some things we can't control. And we also have a spiritual destiny, which is where we will spend eternity, which is obviously the most important one. But often they work together. I want to first look at how God affects our destiny. And he obviously affects it by where we were born. Whether we were born in America or Africa or India. And not only where we were born, when we were born. You know, we could have been born when Arizona was a territory. Or I could have been born in Africa or 1,000 years ago, or all kinds of scenarios. So obviously that has an effect. And how God works in our lives. You know, God is always trying to work in our lives. Not just ours. People all around the world. He's trying to work in everybody's lives. But what do we allow him to do? Do we allow him to direct us? You know, God called me to be a minister in the Church of Christ. He asked me to do that. But I didn't have to do it. I could have said no. Would affected my destiny, wouldn't it? Probably very negatively. But he tries to work in our lives. He tries to direct us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." He will direct them. If we allow him, and if we're humble and faithful, he's promised to do that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." He is near. He's with us. He's there. He's there for us. This is our time to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow. Today. This is the day. This is the time. And you know, the Lord often has a plan for our lives that we don't know anything about. I may not know about for many years. I know he had a plan for my life that I didn't really know about for decades. But he had the plan all along. And he will try to lead us, but we will ultimately choose. Each one of us will choose what we're going to do in this life. Our families, our parents, You know, God placed us in our families. You know, you always hear that saying, you know, we can choose our friends, but we can't choose our families. We know that we can choose our husbands and our wives, which will become our families, and that is an important decision. But I was placed in my family in Grand Junction, Colorado, in the year 1952. And I was raised by godly parents who are members of the Church of Christ, who loved me. They showed me their love. They taught me right from wrong. They taught me to follow the commandments. My parents were a good example to me. They were faithful to the Lord. They attended church faithfully. But obviously, some people in this world don't have godly parents. Something that they must overcome. Our church family, our brothers and sisters, here and abroad, you know, those of us that get to travel in the missionary field, we have a large church family. I have brothers and sisters in Africa and India that I have a great deal of love for. My brother Koba in Ethiopia. My brothers Michael and Moses in Kenya. Michael in Tanzania. They are some of my best friends. They're my brothers. I have a great deal of love for them. I have a great deal of respect for them. They strengthen me spiritually with their zeal and their enthusiasm. Brother Koba in Ethiopia, he is always so enthusiastic. Yes, it'll work, it'll work. You know, the government's going to do this. They'll do that. It's going to be okay. Well, I don't do that. But he doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't get discouraged. Does he, Joel? Does he, Brian? He keeps plugging along. He's going to make it work. He has that love for the Lord. We got to get this done. We got to get your work permits. No matter if it takes 2 years, which it did. He worked tirelessly. Our brothers and sisters, they can make us stronger spiritually. And I have no doubt that as time goes on, this relationship with our brothers and sisters is going to become more important. We're going to need each other even more than we do now. Our friends, this one can certainly trip us up if we're not careful. We choose our friends, but we must choose them wisely. Friends who have a desire to serve the Lord, they can strengthen us. But friends that are living immoral lives, they can lead us away from the Lord, lead us into forbidden paths. Nature. Things happen in life. Disabilities, accidents, sickness, natural disasters. We have trials, tribulations, problems, trouble, sorrow, pain, suffering. I could go on and on. These are all part of life. Everyone has them. We always tell our brothers and sisters in Africa, you know, we have them in America too. We see your problems. We see your troubles. We have them in America. Christ had them. Our very Savior, when he walked on earth, obviously crucified on that cross. So don't get discouraged in this life. These are part of life. You know, some of these things we don't understand. And we're not going to understand in this life. Why some suffer so much. In John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye have peace. In the world ye have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Lord told us we would have tribulation and problems. But we can find peace in Christ. Be of good cheer, He has overcome the world. There is something waiting for us. Something better. Another world. With Him. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I read this scripture, and you know, these temptations, there's things that try us in life, adversity. You know, I have a hard time having joy when I have them. It's what it tells me here, but I have a hard time. But you know, for years I struggled with that scripture, but I understand it now. I understand what it's talking about. Because what happens when things are going too good? When we don't have problems? We can become weaker spiritually. We can get complacent. But when we have these adversity and trials and tribulations, what happens? We pray more, don't we? It makes us stronger spiritually. Prepares us for the next thing, whatever that might be. What about ourselves? We can certainly get ourselves into trouble, can't we? I've made good decisions in life, and I've made bad decisions in life. I've done things I regret, and I'm sorry for them. But when we trip and stumble and fall and commit sin, we can't just lay there. Gotta get up. Just like when you trip and fall in the dust. Got to get up. You can't just lay there. If you trip and fall in the dust out in the desert, what's going to happen to you? If you just lay there. You're going to die. Especially in the summer. Same thing here. When you trip and stumble and commit sin and fall down. If you don't get up, you're going to die spiritually. You got to dust yourself up. Repent. Repent of those sins. Press forward. Try to grow stronger spiritually. You know, our final destiny will be determined by the things we do in this life. You know, we've been talking about works in our Sunday school. The world has a whole different view of works. But the scriptures tell us that we will be judged according to our works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I want to give us a few examples. There's a long list. I just want to give us a few of examples of how our destiny could be changed, both temporally and spiritually, by our choices. Where we live, or where we move to. Are we near a local? Are we attending church? Our careers. Who we marry. Are we following the commandments? Are we living a righteous life? Many big decisions that we make in life. Think about those decisions. They can change our destiny. Obviously, they can change it for good by the decisions we make. But they can also change it for bad. I want to give you a couple of examples in my life of decisions that I made that or things that happened that changed my destiny. When I graduated from high school, I went to Mesa College here in Grand Junction, Colorado. 2-year college, junior college. So that's all you could get is 2-year education. Now it's a university. It's got 10,000 students. A big university, 4-year college. Well, yeah, I'm sure you can get other degrees too, but it's a major university. When I went there, it was a 2-year school. So I wanted to come down here, go to ASU, and get more education. But what would have happened if back in 1972, if Mesa College had been a 4-year college? I wouldn't have moved to Phoenix in 1972. I would have went there, I'm sure, for 2 more years. Would that have changed my destiny? Probably. Probably would have. But I think God knew that. I think He knew that. I think that was part of His plan for me to come down here and go to college. And when I came down here to ASU, I had an opportunity to join the ROTC program. And I even came down here in the summer before that fall semester and took a test, an all-day test, to qualify for the ROTC. I took that test, went back home, and they notified me in a couple of weeks, and this was to be a pilot in the Air Force. And they notified me, and they said, well, you didn't pass the test to be a pilot, but you did pass to be a navigator. So I could have went through that as a navigator. I don't want to be a navigator. I want to be a pilot. I can remember going up to my Uncle Marvin's house and talking to him about this. And it would have been a 6-year commitment, 2 years at ASU and a 6-year commitment in the Air Force. Would that have changed my destiny? Yeah, it would have changed it. So I think the Lord had his hand in that too, by allowing me to fail that test to be a pilot. Because if I'd have passed that test to be a pilot, you know, you got the carrot hanging right there. So I think, as I look back, I can see where that was not part of the Lord's plan for me, to go that direction. If that would have happened, I would have probably never worked at Salt River Project, never been allowed to retire early, go into the field. Who knows what would have happened to me in that other direction. But I think it was part of the Lord's plan. But we all have many decisions like that. All kinds of things, our careers, where we move, what we do. Small and large decisions. We need to think about them. Young people, we have lots of young people in here. Think about your decisions. Sometimes you may not know what the Lord has in store for you, but think about them. It's important to be near a local. It's important. But God has given us that free will to choose our own path. And those choices will determine our final destiny. In Joshua chapter 24, we're familiar with this. Verses 14 and 15, and, you know, it's Joshua's gathered the tribes of Israel, and he's talking to them. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we know what he's talking about is those gods they served were idols and false idols, and they weren't serving the God. But he's telling them to choose who you're going to serve. Those of you who are baptized, you chose that day. But it's not talking about just that. It's talking about every day. Tomorrow when you get up, you're going to choose. You're going to choose that day who you're going to serve. I'm going to choose, each one of us. He chose to serve the Lord. In Alma, chapter 16, verses 228 through 230. This is on page 430. Again, a similar scripture in the Book of Mormon. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. Prepare for eternity. That's what we're doing in this life. That's the main purpose of this life, you know. People lose track of that. You know, mainstream America, they're preparing for careers and this and buying a new house and whatever they're doing, preparing to go to the lake on Sunday. Our main goal, main thing to do in this life is to prepare for eternity. And he's warning us here. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Today. Today is the day to perform our labors, to prepare for that eternity. We know that when Christ walked on earth, that he set that perfect example. He showed us the way that we should go. In John chapter 12, verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You know, there's a lot of darkness in the world today. People don't know. They don't understand. They're looking for something else. They're not looking for the truth. As we've talked in our Sunday school class, I would say that they're looking for an easy way. An easy way. Just believe in Christ and you'll be okay. Even though the scriptures don't tell us that, do they? They tell us what to do. It's all laid out there step by step. But it's more than just believing. We have to be a doer of the word. We have to follow. Follow. Not just believe. As in our Sunday school class last week, Debbie brought up that even the devil believes. They believe in Christ. They certainly don't follow, do they? They're certainly not going to have salvation, are they? It takes more than that. Christ was that perfect light unto the world. But he also told us that we're to be a light unto the world. We're not going to be that perfect light, but we're to do the best we can. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to let our light shine. We're to be a good example to those around us. We're to show forth our love, to be kind, follow the commandments. And we see even in this scripture, it says that they may see your good works. There it is again. Even though the world says we don't need works. Christ is telling us we need works, and we need good works. You know, the scriptures often talk about light and darkness, as we have read here. And that first, in John 12, 46, you know, the Christ is a light unto the world, and they should not abide in darkness. And light is often compared to darkness in the scriptures. And we know that they are direct opposites. And we also see that darkness is often tied to Satan and to evil. And light, or often the color white, are often tied to righteousness and the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to read some verses here that make this very clear. And I want to read some verses from Lehi's vision and from Nephi's vision. And I've read from both of them because I like the passages that they have for the individual subjects. But they talk about these mists of darkness. And they're talking about the devil, this mist of darkness. And they also talk about the color white, which is talking about God and the kingdom of heaven. And I want to start in 1 Nephi, chapter 2. And we'll start there with verse 44. And this is on page 20. And here this is starting with Lehi's vision. And it came to pass that I saw a man, and he was dressed in a white robe, and he came and stood before me. A white robe. A heavenly being. Somebody that came there with a message. Now let's go on and read verses 49 through 52. And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all I ever had before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. So we see that this fruit on this tree, and we know this is talking about the tree of life, and we will read more about that in a minute. But this fruit is something special, isn't it? It's not something you're going to find out here in any orchard. It's something special. It was desirable to make one happy. And it was most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. And it was white to exceed all whiteness. And it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Let's go on now. And we're going to read in 1 Nephi chapter 3. And verses 63 to 65. And now we're switching over to Nephi's vision. Knowest thou the meaning of the tree which thy father saw? And I answered him, saying, yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth itself abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore, it is the most desirable above all things. And he spake unto me, saying, yea, and the most joyous to the soul. The love of God. This tree represented the love of God. I know that that is what we want. We want that love of God. It is there. It is available to everyone. We just have to come and partake. It's there. We just have to reach out our hands. Let's go over to Moroni. Chapter 7 and verse 52. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. It describes this love, this charity, you know, it says to cleave unto it, to hold on to it, It says it will never fail. It describes it as a pure love of Christ. You know, Christ has that pure love for each one of us. Even when we sin, He still has that love for us. He wants us to have salvation. It never fails. It endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. What we should have in our hearts, this pure love. As we are seeking that pure love of God. Let's go back to the vision now. In 1 Nephi chapter 3, we're going to read verses 68 and 69. And this is on page 29. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. So we see that there was a rod of iron that would take us to that tree of life. And I, you know, the Lord used this, something we could understand, a rod of iron. We know what that is, a strong, something strong. And if you hang on to it, it will lead you somewhere, wouldn't it? Out here, anywhere, if you had a long rod of iron, if you hung on to it, it'd take you wherever it was going. He uses that to represent the Word of God. We have to hang on to the Word of God. Follow it. Follow the Scriptures. The Word of God tells us everything we need to know. We just need to follow it. Hang on to it. It will take us to that tree of life. It will take us to that love of God. That's our ultimate goal. And if we're not working towards that goal, we're on the wrong path. We need to continually be working towards that love of God, toward the kingdom of heaven, toward that eternal life. As we've read earlier, that's our main purpose in this life. But there are things we must do, aren't there? Things we must do. The Word will lead us there. But we must follow after the Lord's commandments. I want to read a few verses now in 2 Nephi chapter 7. Verses 23 to 25. And this is on page 114. Wherefore, he that fighteth against Zion, both Jew and Gentile, both bond and free, both male and female, shall perish. For they are they which are the whore of all the earth. For they which are not for me are against me, saith our Lord. This is talking about God's covenant people. The Jews are a covenant people. The Lord made a covenant with them. We, as members of the Church of Christ, we are God's covenant people. But we see it takes more than that, doesn't it? Those that fight against Zion, they shall perish. They which are not for me are against me, saith our God. So we see just being God's covenant people is not enough. Unless we are serving Him. Unless we are promoting the kingdom of heaven. Living a righteous life. Things we must do every day. And not get weak and not get weary. Remain strong and steadfast. We must remain firm in our service. Don't lose focus. The cares of life, the temptations of Satan, they will all try to lead us away. They will try to lead us away from the truth. They will try to lead us into those forbidden paths. Now I want to read a scripture that talks about this. 1 Nephi chapter 2. And verses 64 to 76. This is on page 21. And we're back on, and this is Lehi's vision now. And we see just before this, it's talking about this rod of iron and the tree of life. In verse 64, and it says, And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And we know that this is the pride of the world and the vain imaginations. And in his vision, it says, and I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. Okay, they were on the path, weren't they? They could see here that something was good. They were on the path. And in verse 67, and it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness. The temptations of the devil. A mist of darkness. Yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, and they wandered off and were lost. They were tempted by the devil. They knew where they needed to go, but they were deceived. Satan deceived them. They wandered off and they were lost. Verse 68, and it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward. And they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the mists of darkness. They went through the mists of darkness, through the temptations of the devil, clinging to the rod of iron. Even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. They made it to the tree. And after that they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes about and beheld on the other side of the water a great and spacious building. Again, the pride of the world. And it stood as if it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those which had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed. Because of those that were scoffing at them, and they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. They had partaken of that wonderful fruit, sweet beyond all imagination. But they were ashamed, and they fell away. Verse 82, and great was the multitude that did enter in at that strange building. You know, we have, I know we do in India, because of the Book of Mormon. You know, they're ridiculed, they're persecuted over there because of the Book of Mormon. And they've been, you know, they've been forced out of some places because of their beliefs, not just the Book of Mormon, because they're a Christian. But because they believe in the Book of Mormon, even the other Christian groups persecute them. And sometimes they don't carry the Book of Mormon because they're ashamed of it. Because the people are pointing the fingers and they're ridiculing them because they have that book. You know, today in America, we are not overly persecuted. Some of our people in foreign lands are persecuted as we speak. But we have to think, what are we going to do if we're persecuted like that? Here we see many of these people fell away. We have to remain strong. Because there may be a day when people are standing at our door pointing their finger at us. Trying to make us ashamed. We need to be aware of it. We need to be prepared. You know, in our spiritual lives, we need to think ahead. Think ahead. What would you do if this happened? Be prepared. In 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 24 and 25, it's on page 62. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then ye are in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Ye have entered in at the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. We see how to get on that path. We have to go through a gate. We understand what a gate is in this life. This gate's talking about repentance and baptism. You have to go through the gate, be baptized, repent of your sins, and then you're on the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. But you have to stay on it. You have to stay on it. If we'd read on here, it talks about that you have to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, feast upon the words, endure to the end. It's not just getting on the path. You know, it takes more than that. And of course, so many Christian religions today don't even believe you have to get on the path. Just believe, you know. But the plan is simple. You know, the Lord has given us a plan. We have the plan. It's simple. But we have to follow it to the end. But there are such great rewards if we do. There's great rewards that the Lord has prepared for us. Things that He says that we can't even imagine. things that are more beautiful than we can even imagine. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The words of Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, this scripture, to me, always tells me how close the Lord is. He stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, that means the Lord's close, doesn't it? He's just on the other side of the door. He's always there for us. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. What a wonderful thing that would be. That is what is available to each one of us. That will be our destiny. If we follow the commandments the Lord has given us, and we endure to the end. I thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you for that message, Brother Duane.